Hello, this is Susan Smith Nash, and you're listening to Thoughts on E-Learning. Last week I posted a couple of posts on prestige and the online education institution, and also about how e-learning is taking on a lot of the characteristics of the prestigious, elite, high-status organization. And I thought that I would put together a third part, and I'm doing so. At the same time, though, I'm thinking that the topic tonight may be sort of antithetical to what people usually think of as prestige, and antithetical to the concept of an elite institution or organization. Now, as we go through, you'll see that actually it isn't, but it's so interesting how the world of the internet and the online environment tends to be a little bit less subtle, perhaps, or more subtle. It's hard to say, but the relationships that you might see going on every day seem to take in say the real world, in everyday business or organizational practice, when practiced online, suddenly seem different. They seem kind of raw and naked and brash. One, it might even say, too clear and obvious. But this is something where this is a time of values transition and change, and the thing that the practice that might have seemed brash or unscrupulous almost, you know, or at least a little bit crass, some of those practices are seeming less so because they are definitely being, what should we say, legitimized or even made dignified by large institutions, large corporations, investment banking firms, by solid, prestigious money, not sort of grifter practices. Anyway, instead of prefacing it too much, I just want to just jump right in here and talk about how today's topic really addresses the latest business trends and e-learning. And in particular, it looks at affiliate marketing, monetization of domain names and websites, and also a phenomenon that is gaining notoriety, or a concept that is, and that's called direct navigation. So basically, let's back up a step and say, what exactly does it take to achieve solid, fast-paced growth in an e-learning organization? It's not just about building courses. It's not just about recruiting students or containing costs. It's also about generating new revenue streams. Needless to say, it's important to be perceived as maintaining academic excellence, even as you do whatever you can to build student and revenue bases. Nevertheless, I will say, you know, there are some very exciting new ways to establish relationships and to market and promote products and services. So one of the first things has been around for a while, but it's become really, really dynamic in the last 6 to 18 months, and some would say that it's gotten an even more profound boost in the last 2 months, the last 3 months, since late November 2005. And that phenomenon is affiliate marketing. And let's just take a look at affiliate software that helps people actually do the business of creating affiliates. And one thing that's helped establish these relationships, and essentially an affiliate is an entity that will promote your product or your site on their site, and it's one of those, you know, it's a logo or text that's clickable, and each click results in a potential revenue stream, even either through the clicks or an actual lead or a bona fide sale where there's a commission. Affiliate software has evolved tremendously since 2001. And during the last year, new programs and internet capabilities have emerged that allow smaller institutions to harness the power of a whole new level of the internet. And that whole new level of the internet is the little guy. So while massive programs, Google AdSense, Overture, which is now Yahoo Commission Junction, Amazon, still make sense, it's becoming easier to affiliate with small, independent, yet high-traffic sites or providers. The end result is that the owners of medium and low-traffic weblogs, websites, and podcasts promote programs for a small fee based on clicks, leads, or commissions. Or, alternatively, there are new opportunities to affiliate with providers of the services your clients want and need, and to receive commissions. This is all in a just completely seamless, you know, transparent manner. Now, some individuals at educational institutions may cringe. You know, they say this approach is really crass, really tacky. However, they fail to keep in mind that state and private colleges and universities have been doing this for years, but in a way that is usually not acknowledged. So, for example, if you stroll through a student union of an average college campus, look around and observe what there is to purchase, you'll see that there are florists, travel agencies, fast food, copy centers, vendors of class rings, cell phone providers, credit card company sign-up tables, bookstores, branded clothing, gift items, on and on and on. The college receives a percentage of sales from virtually every transaction done. So, you know, it's interesting. Under the roof of the student union, this is not viewed as selling out. Instead, it's viewed as a viable partnership. And it's also viewed as a place to get some valuable revenue that goes to subsidize whatever, you know, library, whatever. So in the case of online, what has not been perfected is how these commercial relationships and partnerships function best for online institutions. I would venture to say that it is different for each institution, and that it is important not to seek a generic solution, but to take the time to identify needs, constituencies, and products, and to align them in the most appropriate way. So I'm just going to go over, I mean, there are a multitude of software programs that help you manage and set up affiliate relationships. And I'm just going to go over like three shareware solutions. The first one is the Personal Affiliate Manager. And I've got all this stuff linked, so please go to elearningqueen.com and click on the text, and you'll get the links, etc. But I just want to say that this is like a really nice, easy to use software package. And it helps you organize, manage, and report all of your affiliate site subscriptions. So if you are setting up these things for your college, this piece of software would help you set up the affiliates. If people want to become affiliates, it's easy for them to do it. You don't have to get involved. They just download the script. And then the software helps you keep track of how much you owe them, and then like you cut a check or do electronic funds transfer every month. The second one is called Affiliate Network Solution. It was developed by thepilotgroup.net. It's shareware. And they claim that they are the most effective marketing tool to earn money online. And they say they're simple and easy to set up. Now, I haven't tried them, but they look good. And they help you develop signs, banners, things that they can download onto their websites so that web surfers see them, click on them, and then the software helps you track the clicks and figure out how much you owe them. And they also say that they have a way to overcome sort of click programs that are not doing legitimate clicks, but just clicking to get the maximum number of hits. Okay, another one for monitoring statistics is called Stats Remote. Now, this program has a 4 cows rating at 2cows.com, and it was a 2004 XBiz award winner. Now, I don't know what XBiz is, and I suppose it's okay. I don't know what it is. Business of some sort. But at any rate, this is supposedly a pretty good statistic software package. So it's probably worth checking out, too. With Stats Remote, you can check your stats as often as every 15 minutes. And it displays your numbers and forecasts, current month, daily, or previous year-to-date stats in one interface, which is pretty good. Now, I went into their discussion board where people were posting questions, and apparently, if you check often, there's something that kind of freezes. And there were some complaints that it wasn't as easy to follow as it seemed. I mean, it wasn't operating. There was some, like, collapse or general failure. But it would be really surprising to find a discussion board that didn't have some complaints. So, I don't know. It sounds pretty good. Website monetization. So I've also been investigating opportunities that exist with monetizing websites and domain sponsoring in order to untangle hype from reality. And, I have to say that I find the concept of filling a web page with links to advertising without any real content to be sort of repugnant. I mean, I know that I don't like landing on domain names filled with links when I misspell a domain name. For example, there's the classic Yaha or something like that. Y-A-H-H-O instead of Y-A-H-O-O.com. And if you just like type that in and click, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's just, a page of links. Yuck. However, that's getting to be more and more popular, especially in the last 2 or 3 months when investment banking firms have got into the act and started raising huge, huge amounts of funds to go out and just, like, buy, quote, real estate. Real estate being what are perceived to be pretty good domain names in the future. Okay, so one software solution that helps individuals with domain sponsor businesses is Alstrasoft.com. And essentially what they do is they take 60% of click revenues or referral revenues. So what you do is you forward, you tell them that you want them to build a page with links and, quote, be a sponsor. Then you forward your domain to them, or you allow them to do the forwarding. And so when somebody types in your email, or your, I mean, not email, no way, if they type in your domain name, for example, plasticteddybears.com. So if somebody wants to buy plastic teddy bears, they type it in, and you think, oh, wow, I'm going to get to some information page about how to manufacture plastic teddy bears, or all about plastic teddy bears, or maybe, you know, plastic teddy bears, you know, as the evil counterpart of Vermont teddy bears. Anyway, I don't want to get silly here. But, I type in plastic teddy bears. Boom. And I'm expecting something satisfying. Instead, I get columns of links to things that sound vaguely remote and remotely like teddy bears. So I get teddyroosevelt.com, teddy information, Teddy Roosevelt, genealogical links. I get bearsunlimited.com. And so these things are really just companies that have paid something to Google AdSense or Overture to be part of the affiliate program, or something, or maybe this company has worked with them directly. But at any rate, they've negotiated a commission structure. So they may be paying a certain commission. Now, once you make this Faustian bargain and you turn your domain name over to this, then when people click, they'll get this thing of links that seem vaguely related to the names of your domain. And in theory, what this does is it generates passive income. So as you sleep, money flows in, 60% to the people who built it and are maintaining it, and 40% to you. And you wake up after a couple of years, Rip Van Winkle, and you go, wow, I have some checks in the mail. And wow, my domain name now, because it's been earning income, could be worth a lot. I can now auction it off. So that's how the business works. And you're going, well, I don't know. I don't know how to do this. Well, there are other companies. Chitika will help a company or a person develop a monetized website, and they also take a share of the ad revenues. They're 60%. They also have a product called eMiniMalls. This is sad, but I was hoping for eMiniMe. Remember that movie? Anyway, not eMiniMe, but MiniMe. They claim that eMiniMalls help drive ad and referral revenue. So Chitika bills itself as the, quote, leader in impulse marketing. And I'm assuming that they have spent a great deal of time figuring out what makes people click. And if they're all about impulse marketing, I think they figured out what makes me click. Antic. They've got my number. Absolutely. Okay. Now, here's a caveat I personally question. how often content-less sites get picked up by search engines, primarily Google. On the other hand, generating traffic is a multidimensional art, which is all the more complicated by blogs, podcasts, and other syndicated content. I have seen blogs, particularly celebrity-based blogs, that seem to be little more than placeholders for affiliate program ad links. So what do I say to that? Well, it seems to me that, you know, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of, you know, what's a matter of degree. I think you could look at the affiliate concept as a service, and it is a service. I mean, you can provide links to related products. I mean, I certainly have discovered new products, and I have purchased items in this manner, I confess. On the other hand, I mean, no one wants to be adrift on a sea of fluff and Google AdSense. And, you know, it's pretty darn discouraging to type in stuff, and then boom, 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 it's just like, links, 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 you know, just like, stop! I want real stuff. Give me meat. So there, all this is probably, if you really look at it, an indication that we're in the middle of sort of an extreme on one of change. The Wall Street Journal had an interesting article that kind of illuminated this. It came out in November 2005, and they described some of the big players in the domain name monetization business. And anyway, they said that domain aggregators have assembled venture capital to purchase domain names to the tune of $250 million. So think about this. $250 million. That's just out there, acquisition capital to buy up, as they say, valuable real estate, domain names. I'm ready to see what this is about, because it sounds very promising in certain ways. And, you know, it's interesting because once there was a new surge of investment and also in ad revenue, there has been like a major sea change shift in attitudes. Matt Bentley, chief executive of the domain broker Cedo.com, which managed the sale of website.com for $750,000 this year, had a few comments about this thing. And he said, the business model has shifted. He also said that the fact that it is moving from individuals to larger corporations represents a, as he said, legitimization of the domain name industry. Now, I don't think we can underestimate what this means. For years, the industry had a less than rosy reputation because many domain owners dealt in so-called cyber squatting, and they registered names associated with famous brands in hopes of selling them to big company at hefty prices. And that fueled legal squabbles. And this shift was a hot topic at a recent ICON meeting. The debate about parked domains is actually really hot, and it's continuing. Joy Ito wrote an interesting post in CircleID.com in December of 2005 about the practice and some of the issues. According to him, the parked domain monetization business is making it easier for squatters to operate and more difficult for individuals and businesses to purchase the domain name they want. So it's basically squeezing people out, and it's making it really, really difficult for people to purchase the domain name they want. Now, it sounds kind of, you know, like egregious. However, if we sit back and look at the issue, suddenly there are a lot of nuances. And nuances that perhaps people hadn't thought about. And if you read some of the debates, you become familiar with them. I still think, though, it's possible that monetization without content will, in my opinion, most certainly go away sometime in the future, particularly if Google and other search engines do not acknowledge pages that consist only of ads and ad links. Now, my position is going to be vociferously contested by the people who are advocates of the concept of direct navigation. And according to them, it makes no difference what Google rates, you know, how you come up in Google or any of the other search engines. And they said, you know, people said, oh, we're number one in Alta Vista. Well, great for, you know, how many nanoseconds. And they're saying that you know, do you really want to have a business model that put an e-business model that puts your fate in the hands of search engines? I mean, essentially, they will demand their extortion. And they'll say, gee, if you don't join our quote program and pay us money, guess what? You won't appear in our search results. Ethical, not ethical. The proponents of direct navigation say it doesn't matter. If you have the right kind of domain name, then you are assured that you can do whatever you want without relying on search engines. For example, let's say you have the domain name pitbull.com. Now, anything to do with pit bulls would be at pitbull.com. So they're saying that people are likely to just type in pitbull.com, and that's the behavior they will follow. Now, do you believe this? I don't know. I still think that we're not there yet. I don't think people, that's really the behavior that people have. I mean, and my preliminary research into the subject is definitely at odds with what the apologists of direct navigation claim. They are saying that direct navigation is finding the information you're looking without using a search engine or a directory or clicking on a link from another site. And they call it type-in traffic. And they say it's natural because there's a natural affinity. Now, maybe, but I still think that it's worth looking into. My initial investigations have not supported the claim. I still look at traffic at places, you know, that have really catchy names, and I see that they're driven by Google primarily, the different Googles in different countries, and that there has to be content on the page. Now, the implications for e-learning and the e-learning organization are multiple. First, it means that there's more competition for the sites that you may be wanting to purchase. It also means that your bookstore will be competing with millions of other sites that will offer the same products, but possibly or probably at a lower price. Eventually, courses and software could be sold this way, not only the products. Certainly, many, many colleges, not just the University of Phoenix, have aggressively embraced affiliate marketing, which means indirectly that they are participating in the direct navigation market. And you're going, how? Well, I'll tell you how. Because in the parked domain monetization business, if you type in the direct, if you have a type-in, okay, you have a type-in name, and it goes into a park domain that has is filled with links. If you take a look at the links, who are those links going to be? Chances are, at least one of those links is going to be the University of Phoenix. So they have indirectly supported all this stuff. Now, in my opinion, the issues are very complex. However, they are definitely worth exploring. And right now, I'm, you know, excited about it. And I'm continuing to explore, and I want to keep up with the trends. I still haven't decided exactly what it means in terms of practice, but there we go.